Thank you, David. I tell you, I loved David. It's fitting for you to sing that song. I think that's the first time I've seen you sing without your glasses, brother. That's an answered prayer right there, isn't it? Mm-hmm. God is good. I tell you, if you would take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. And it's so good to have Bill and Rose back with us. And right behind them, it's a dear, precious family, Miss Fran, and all of her crew around her. And it's fitting that y'all are right in the front here. Thank you for allowing us to love you and minister to you these last few days. I'm not going to say we lost a dear loved one, but at least temporarily until we step across the river into heaven ourselves, we've said see you later to a dear brother in the Lord this week. And, you know, all your church members are special, but there's some that are just special. And you know what I mean with that. And Brother Joe, we loved him so much. And Miss Fran, we are... the church is around you right now as you sit right in the middle, and we're going to stay around you and your family as well. And it's fitting that your family is around you as well. We want to continue to love and lift you up and just display the love of Christ and bear each other's burdens. As I told you, we have been looking at just the model prayer, and not necessarily to as Jesus was writing it, it was intended to help his disciples pray. Matter of fact, in Luke 11, it's also recorded, just a small, little bit smaller version of it. As Luke writes, and the disciples had asked, Lord, teach us to pray. And in this section of the Sermon on the Mount, we are looking at giving, praying, and fasting. And we're looking at improper ways to give versus right ways to give. And then he moves into this section of prayer, and he's showing us, Matthew, as he writes, improper ways to pray. You know, the Pharisees, who Brother Kenny in the Sunday school in Matthew 23, we talked about this morning, in trying to keep the traditions of men and trying to look the certain part, and even really, in a sense, keeping us from experiencing God's grace by a bunch of man-made rules. In that regard, Jesus was talking about the true way to pray. And one of the things he says don't do, he says don't raise your voices for all to be heard and use this repetition of try to sound all sophisticated and smart. He said, go into your closet and pray where the Father in heaven can hear you. But what I'm mostly interested in, these next few verses, we looked last week at three petitions, and we'll look at this week at three petitions, and we're looking at the heart of Jesus in this prayer. You know, when we hear people praying, I love to hear people pray because it's a genuine, real, vertical relationship to where you're calling on God, our Father, to meet needs, and we hear your heart. And Jesus is praying, and he's showing the disciples how to pray. You remember last week that first word, our Father. We looked at community. He's not saying my Father, or he's saying our Father. And we talked about that one of the things Jesus values is community, church. We need one another. We've seen that this week, and we have hurts, and we have pains, and we have struggles, and we have temptations, and our church and the people of God encourage one another. We lift each other up. We hold each other accountable. We pray for one another. Our Father in heaven, we're reminded that our Father was in heaven. He's at the place of all perfection, and the angels are worshiping around him, and his perfect will is being done. And as we think about the Father, then we see the name, we see his kingdom, and then we see his will. And Jesus is praying, glorifying the name of the Father. Hallowed be thy name. Lord, we want your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. We want your perfect will to be done. So as a church family heading into the new year, we think about these things that are important to Jesus. The name of God, the kingdom of God working through the hearts and lives of his people, and his perfect will being done in our midst just as it is in heaven. That was a quick summary of what we talked about last week. And now we look into this week, and we look at verse 11, and we see three verbs of just, and I've just underlined them. They jump out at me: give, forgive, and lead us, Lord. Deliver us, God. What is Jesus praying for here that should move us in how we're to pray and things we're to desire in 2022? I think I'll label that the title is what to desire for 2022. The first thing Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11 as he's praying, he says, Father, give us our daily bread. Daily bread. Now, some of the early church fathers would allegorize this. They thought this is too simple. But I think this is meaning just what it means. God, meet our basic, simple, daily needs, and provision is huge. We are so dependent on you for what we have each day. What it might see here, it actually means give us our daily bread or our bread for tomorrow. This might be making reference to Exodus chapter 11. You remember that God rained down the manna from heaven for the people of Israel. He provided for them. Jesus would be called the bread of life. And so as we think about just a simple substance that we need for our daily lives, bread, nourishment, sustenance, you know, we can go a little bit deeper and we can look at other specific needs that we have. But how dependent on you, how dependent upon you to God for just basic needs? James says every good and perfect gift is from above. Romans 8:32 that says, He who gave us His best gift in the gift of His Son, is He not going to give us good gifts? Is He not going to also give us the things that we need for each day? In Matthew chapter 7, if you'll flip over one page, 7 through 11, it says, ask and it will be given you to seek, be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? First off, I think it's important for us when we're saying, Our Father, give us this day our daily bread, what are we acknowledging? We're acknowledging a need. In this world where we have a full bank account and we have cars and clothes and we have things that we've stored up and saved up, in a world in this Western civilization where we have everything we need, do we hit our knees daily and do we say, God, You give us what we really need. You give us what we need each day. We're dependent upon You. You know, to call upon the Lord in this manner, it takes humility. You know, we can never worship the Lord faithfully like we should from a prideful heart. That's what the Pharisees had. They had it all together. And one of the things we were reminded of in Sunday school this morning, and I want to encourage you that as I teach on this, is that we need God's grace more than ever in 2022. And when I say we need His grace, we need to acknowledge that we don't have it all together. We are broken people. We mess up every day. We're going to move to things like forgiveness that we need, to confess our sin each day, to basic provisions, God to protect us from where we go, deliver us from the things that are going to harm us, the evil one and all of his schemes and his tricks. So in thinking about our dependence upon God, we call out for just daily necessities. He says, Our Father who art in heaven. He moves on and we get down to verse 11 in this. He says, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. If you'll look down there and just help and illustrate this, I love to let the text illustrate this. At the back part of chapter 6, in verse 25, he's talking about not being anxious about your life for anything, of what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. He's talking about clothes and food. He says, don't be worried about these things. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? He says, and then he goes on to talk about the birds. He says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Now some of us, we're good about planning and preparation. I think that's okay. Proverbs talks about preparing and being wise. But the birds, now I've seen little squirrels when I go hunting, I'll see them bury things and I guess they'll come back to it. The birds evidently, they don't put stuff away into barns. They don't do a lot of saving up and waiting to, man, if a bad day comes and I don't feel like doing it, I'll have something for a nest that I'm sitting on. The birds just each day, as the rain brought the worms to the top of the ground, you'll look out in your yard this afternoon and you'll see blackbirds everywhere because God's feeding the birds. He sent the rain. The rain washed up the little critters from the ground that the birds feast on. And God's providing for these birds. It says, and yet your heavenly Father who feeds them, are you not of more value than they? If God takes care of the little sparrows, is He not going to give us what we need for each day? We have to remind ourselves of this, don't we? Sometimes the church, a corporate body of church, you know, the churches like to sit on big bank accounts and see how much we could store up and have for that rainy day. When we have that rainy day, is God not going to take care of us? I mean, when the birds have the rainy day, He takes care of them. I mean, our resources and being good stewards is not necessarily seeing how much money we can get in the bank. Being good stewards is using what God gives us for ministry, to sow seeds, to share the gospel, to love the brothers, to help people use their gifts. You know, sometimes we as church members, we don't hold people, and this is, sorry, I'm preaching now, I'm stepping on toes, I know, but this is one of the definitions of the Pharisees. They hold the people they were talking to a different standard than what they were held to. They would tell others what to do, but they wouldn't do it. Sometimes we as leaders of a church, if we're not careful, we're telling you what you need to do, and we're not holding ourselves to the same biblical standard that God calls us to. Amen? If we're gonna see this simplicity of the Word of God telling us to ask God each day for what we need, depend on Him each day for what we need. I guess it's, suppose it's nothing wrong with putting money in your account and saving it up. It's nothing wrong for a church to putting back to pay for that air conditioner when it breaks, Bob, because it's going to break, right? But there's a fine line there in how much we put up and how much we depend on the Lord. You know, many of you have sat down to people in life insurance, and you sit down and they begin their spiel, and man, they are good, right? Some of y'all may sell insurance. It's okay. It's needed. Miss Fran probably had some life insurance when she had the funeral ready, and so things were taken care of when she you know, pet. They told them all you have to do is show up, all right? These things are important, but these people that give us these spiels, boy, they have a good spiel. I went one time, and I thought I was going to minister to somebody. Next thing you know, two people driving a Rolls Royce sitting in suits are sitting down there telling me what's most important. Your ability to make money is what's most important. Your ability, you've got to protect this. And then they want to sell me all types of things that will make my wife a millionaire when I die. Sorry, Anna. I couldn't help but, and one of these brothers I knew was a child of God, and I was scratching my head, and I said, where does faith fit in this picture? Where does faith fit in this? How much is enough? If I fall off a ladder, I'm not going to be able to work, but I guess God's going to take care of me if I have a chainsaw accident. I don't know if the church will take care of me, but somebody will take care of me. Something will happen. The Lord will provide some kind of way. You know, we have to depend on the Lord. And this is simple here, but do we depend on the Lord? Do we trust Him each day? Is what He gives us enough? Is it sufficient? You've heard me make reference to my grandmother. Sweet, I shouldn't say poor grandmother. She was rich in heaven right now. But she never learned to drive. Her husband left her. She was young, and she had two children, and her husband was an alcoholic, and he would show up when he needed something or show up at odd times, and she depended on the Lord. Each day she would pray, Lord, I need to go into town, and I need some flour, some bacon needs, and somebody would show up to take my grandmother into town to help her get the things she needed to bake that cake for Sunday or whatever. She was so dependent on the Lord and dependent on others, and God was always faithful. God was always faithful. I see some angels right here and taking care of Miss Jean Blackman. You know, that's true faith, is taking care of the widows and the orphans. The Lord's going to take care of us, amen? He gives us what we need. One of the ways we pray going into 2022, we acknowledge God as our Father. We humbly bow before Him and say, God, give us this day our daily bread. Second thing we see here, and you know, God did talk about that. It's kind of fitting that right after He talks about praying for daily bread in the Lord's Prayer, it talks about seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You just seek the Lord. You seek the righteousness. You seek to live out the gospel in your life, and the Lord's going to give you the things that you need. Secondly, it says here, the text does in Matthew 6, verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Or as Will says, and we just know it better this way and a lot of times, and you know, or forgive us our trespasses. And that word there is just sin. Forgive us for our sin. Forgive us for our debts. Forgive us for our trespasses, as we also have forgiven our debtors or our trespassers, those who have sinned against us. And it's a forgive us our sins as we also have forgiven our debtors. Sinners are debtors to God for their violations of His laws. This is not to suggest that God will withdraw His justification from those who have already received the free pardon He extends to all believers. We know that one of the beautiful pictures of the gospel in the scriptures is that God has already forgiven us. He's cast as far as the east is from the west, in that He's pardoned us from our sin debt we could never pay. Thankfully, that the righteous one came. And this is what I reminded the family about Brother Joe this week, as he went to be with Jesus. And there's another lady that I've been ministered to, a family that we've been ministered to. We'll probably do another funeral in a few days. And I've been reminding them that Jesus paid the debt that we couldn't pay. Jesus was the ultimate perfect sacrifice. And by His stripes we are healed, in that we look to Him as being sufficient to save. So that forgiveness is made available through Jesus. And when we repent of our sin and we turn away from the world and we look to Jesus and acknowledge our needs and say, God, a need, and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, I need You. He cleanses us. He justifies us. He imputes the righteousness of Jesus, and it says that He took on our sin. And so that's there. That's the gospel. That's the good news. But I will say that we still, in this sanctification process, in living the Christian life, we struggle. We need God's grace each day. We need His forgiveness. And that's why 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. Because we know that we're still struggle in this flesh. We know we're going to continue to struggle. Though we're going to hopefully become more like Jesus, we need God's grace daily. We need His forgiveness to be rampant in our lives. And it says here, Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Y'all, not forgiving someone is like drinking a cup of poison and dying a slow death. It's sad in the world in which I live, and I can be like this. Anybody can hold a grudge. Any of you guys can just get kind of bitter and just kind of get hard. We can all be a little stubborn at times, and we can be frustrated, and we can hold grudges. Guys, I'm telling you, that don't help us. It don't help us in our relationship with the Lord. It don't help us with the relationship with others. It's sad as I live the life around, and you guys do the same thing. As I work with families and I minister to families, it's sad how many families are broken because of something that happened 20 years ago. This grandfather can't see his grandchildren because something he did 15 years ago. And the daughter and son-in-law have now kept their little 6-7-year-old child from knowing their grandfather because of a mistake a grandfather made years and years ago. The mother now has to decide whose side she's on. Does she support her husband, or does she try to help her daughter and this son-in-law who don't want the grandfather to see his grandchild? And then the whole family's torn. I want to be loyal to support my husband, but I want to see my grandchild. And there's so much friction, and there's pain, and there's bitterness, and there's brokenness, and there's hurt. And next thing you know, there's divorce. There's separation. As old Travis Tritt says, chalk another love lost up to foolish pride. Man, you'll show them, and when nothing, what's happening is you're killing your spirit. You're killing your walk with the Lord. You're hurting you're actually not even proven to be a child of God. Because being able to forgive is someone who has known and loved and understood the forgiveness of Christ. And so if you can't forgive, then maybe you've not experienced the forgiveness that was made readily available to you through Jesus and His death on the cross. Those who really know how to forgive and love people are those that have understood God's gracious love and gift of forgiveness through Jesus. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves of that, but how long do you go? How long do you go to where you don't speak to your wife? How long do you go to where you don't want your child to come around? How long do you go? One of the things we need to really evaluate and look at closely in 2022 is not only do we ask God to help us with our physical needs and Jesus being that bread of life and fulfilling the desires of our heart, in doing that we pray, Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, if you're praying that prayer, that can be kind of scary. Matter of fact, I tried to look at the Greek and think about the construction of it, and my wife and I talked about it, and she basically told me, Stephen, you're complicating that. Because I guess in my mind, I wanted to think that does it really say forgive us our trespasses as we forgive our trespassers? Does it maybe mean that, Lord, forgive us our debts as we continue to go along and also forgive debts because we're debtors also? Like, where is the clause? Where is the emphasis? But I really do. I guess at the end of the day, I have to look at the construction of it and say it simply says, forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. Y'all know the parable in Matthew chapter 18 where the king has a servant that owes a lot of money and he calls him in and he says, you know, until you pay this debt, you know, I'm going to lock you up, you and your family, and you're going to have to work off this debt. And it was an astronomical amount of money. The man would never work this debt off. And he pleaded and he hit his knees and he says, King, please have mercy on me and my family. I'm not going to be able to pay this, but have mercy on me. And the king in his gracious heart says, okay, your debt's been forgiven. Can you imagine this huge, huge debt? Some of you got a mortgage payment. You know you'll never have it paid. That's okay. Some of you may have a truck payment. The more you pay on it, you're like, man, it seems like it just gets bigger. But you know what it feels like to have a debt, have a payment that you have trouble paying. This man had a debt that's so heavy, he would never have it paid. And the king graciously just dismissed it. And then this man goes out, I guess, in this joy and this gracious forgiveness that he's experienced. He goes out and finds somebody that owed him just a little bit. Had him locked up, thrown in prison. When the other servants saw what this man did, they went back to the king and they said, you know that guy you forgave all this amount of money? He just threw our brother and friend in prison because he owed him a few dollars. The king was furious. The king was furious. He would go and he would find this man and he would throw him into prison. Matthew 18, let's see what it says right there. The unforgiving servant, he goes on, it says, his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Whew. Man, I won't even get into whether that they're saved or not saved or were they saved or will they be saved. We won't even get into all of that. Just take it as the simplicity of how it's written. Sometimes we show our true heart by our actions, and that's something I wanted to quote at the beginning of Brother Joe's funeral, is that Brother James says in the scriptures that, you know, you show me your faith, and if you truly have faith, you're going to see actions. And, you know, James says faith without actions is dead. And so we really see what people value, and we really see their heart, the way they live. If you live and you don't forgive people and don't care about people and treat people poorly, you're really showing that maybe you've not experienced God's forgiveness. Maybe you've not experienced God's forgiveness, but this year, going into the new year, I pray that we would be gracious, forgiving, loving people as Jesus was gracious and loving and forgiving to us. At the end of the day, we don't want to create a bunch of Pharisees, and we want to create disciples. We want to see disciples and followers of Jesus that not only know and experience God's grace, but know how to love and show God's grace to others. We don't want people to conform to just wearing a certain style of clothes and looking a certain part and conforming to whatever we value here. We want them to know the love of Jesus, experience His grace, and be able to be gracious to those around them, to live in that grace and to model that grace. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So not only are we praying that God to help us to forgive others, we're praying that God, please forgive us our debts. forgive us. I had to go to my wife this morning and say, Anna, forgive me. You know, how could I get up and preach about forgiveness and be frustrated and, you know, have some issues, unresolved conflict that I've not dealt with? You know, anybody else have to do that in your marriage? Have to just go back and say, I blew it again. Please forgive me. Christians should be real. As Brother Kenny told us this morning, the outside world, they know that we're not perfect. But it really turns them off when we act like we're perfect. And we're not, we don't acknowledge our need for God's grace and forgiveness. Quit acting like you got it all together and just ask God to forgive you and help you. Ask your brother and sister to be real and help you see the blind spots in your eye that you're holding people and you're judging people for. Our Father, would you also forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors? And just by quickly, just by matter of reading, and you know, this seems to be the central part of the prayer. This seems to be the focus of the main part of the prayer, because the back 14 and 15, the two verses following the prayer, it says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I think we just saw that from the parable in Matthew 18. But lastly, verse 13 says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This word for temptation means just hard testing. You know, we know that James tells us that, that our Father is not going to tempt us. The devil is the one that tempts us. But the Lord will allow us to go through some hard testing. We see that with Job. We see that with Peter. He says, Peter, you're going to deny knowing me three times before the rooster crows. Or you're going to deny it. You know, in living in the broken world in which we live, at times we're going to face tests. We're going to be tempted. But the prayer is Lord, would you lead us not into these hard tests, and would you deliver us from the evil one, or deliver us from evil? Some of the versions that seem specific to Satan, and it would say evil one, and some of them it seems kind of general to just evil. At the end of the day, Satan is the author of evil. Satan is the deceiver. And so whether it's the evil one or deliver us from evil, it's kind of the same message here. Father, would you deliver us from the evil one? What he's saying here is, God, would you protect us from situations that would tempt us to sin? You know, be careful where you go. Be careful what you do. Be careful who you hang out with. We know that we can't completely be isolated and shielded. That was kind of our conversation in Sunday school this morning. So many times that we think if we can get people a certain place and we can get them around just Christian teaching and just followers of Jesus, that they're never going to struggle with sin. And you know, the monks in their monasteries and communes thought the same thing. When they went out in the wilderness, they battled sin. Boy, they had some serious sin in the camp. They had the same type of thing happen. Why? Because sin is in our heart. For all is sin and falls short of the glory of God. But the prayer is here is that, God, would you protect us from situations that would tempt us to sin? Would you keep us from going certain places? Would you protect us from strongholds? Y'all, the sin, our flesh craves sin. Our flesh. And in the world, even though we have a new nature, if you're appealing to the flesh, we're going to desire it a little bit more. And next thing you know, the flesh is going to desire things that are going to start to form habits. And next thing you know, you're going to be full-blown into some kind of stronghold that's leading you in a bad, bad, bad direction. We know, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so may we fix our eyes in 2022 on Jesus. May we walk closely to Him. May we keep short accounts with the sin that we experience and that we come across and that we fall victim to. May we have a good accountability partner that helps remind us of our need for the gospel and God's love for us and the forgiveness made available through Jesus. May we be real and open and genuine and pray our Father, which means we're dwelling in a community of people that are going to help us. Guys, if you're out there on an island and you're trying to do it all yourself and watch your evangelist on the TV and Me and Jesus is all we need. That's not the gospel. That's not the truth. That is a deceptive lie that Satan is throwing at you. Jesus valued the church enough to lay his life down for the church. If Jesus valued the church, you need to value the church. You need to value community, brothers and sisters. Would you find yourself and place yourself in 2022 in a group, whether it's a Sunday school class, whether it's a small group? We don't even have to call it Sunday school. Call it something. But basically, it's people who love you and care about you and help you to live for Jesus. That help you not fall victim to Satan and his traps. That can see things that maybe you can't see. Man, I need people in my life to help me in these areas. And you do too. You do too. God, would you deliver us from temptation? Would you deliver us from these hard tests? And would you deliver, lead us not into these temptations, these hard tests, but deliver us from evil? Would you deliver us from the evil one? Would you protect us? Would you help us to throw off sin? Would you cleanse us each day as David would sin with Bathsheba in Psalm 51, and there was just this weight of sin. And he said, when I held in this sin, he said, I felt like my bones were breaking and I felt this weightiness. He says, but when I cried out to God and I said, God, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me, renew the joy of my salvation. It was like he just felt this freedom. This weight was lifted off of him. I pray that in 2022, you'll be real and genuine in this vertical relationship and this horizontal relationship with your family and friends, that you'll be free, that you'll experience rest, and you'll that we can pray God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. We can pray thy will be done. We can pray, God, give us our daily bread. We can pray, God, forgive us our trespasses. We can pray, God, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Man, I pray your heart and desire in 2022 is to be right, to value the things that God values. We see them clearly in this prayer. And something that's not in here, and I believe it's not in Luke 2 either. It's kind of interesting because when we pray, and Miss Jane Ann told me several weeks ago, she came to me, and it's funny that I had forgotten about it, Miss Jane Ann, until I started preaching on the model prayer. And she said, when I grew up, and she lived in Montana, I can't remember which denomination she went to, but churches were about 2 hours apart. So wherever she went, it was a good Bible-believing church, and I know that. She's told me about that. But she said the Lord's Prayer was important. She said, it was part of their liturgy. It was part of their, not only did, she said, everybody in the church knew it. It was not only a model prayer, but it was something we went to mostly every service, wasn't it? It was that important. We were talking and we were wondering if our people knew the Lord's Prayer. I kind of think that you guys probably all know the Lord's Prayer. She kind of had her doubts, right, Miss Jane Ann? I might be getting in trouble up here. She kind of had her doubts. Do you know the model prayer? Because this week, sometimes when I have trouble praying, and I was talking to Brother Joe, and as his mind was kind of, he was getting septic and he wasn't doing any dialysis, and he told me, he said, I have trouble praying sometimes. I said, Brother Joe, I said, my mind's clear and right, and I have trouble praying. Anybody else ever have trouble praying? This model prayer will help us. It reminds us of what's important to the Lord Jesus. It shows us how to pray. As I was teaching my kids about prayer, daily bread, God's forgiveness, lead us away from certain areas, toward other areas, deliver us from evil. And here we go, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. I hope that's our true heart. For God, for your kingdom come. Your will be done, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. That's our heart. That's our cry. God, may your name be hallowed in all the earth. May your glory be revealed to all nations, starting in my family and in my life. God, may your kingdom come. May your will be done. And God, may your power be evident to all as you work in and through your people. 2022, that's our prayer. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Let's pray together. Father, we humbly come before you, acknowledging our need, depending on you for our daily bread and for forgiveness and for leading, for deliverance from our enemy. He's so alive and well, like a hungry lion, waiting and crouching at our door, seeking to devour, God. We need you, God. We need you. And we pray that these people around us, our dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, would help us. And Lord, that we would be a community that's strong in the Lord as we pray, hallowed be thy name. As we pray, thy kingdom come. As we pray, thy will be done. As we pray, give us our daily bread. As we pray, forgive us our trespasses. As we pray, lead us and deliver us, God. Help us to be reminded of your grace shown on the cross of Christ. Help us, as we're reminded of your love and forgiveness, to be able to love and forgive others, God, knowing that we're forgiven in proportion to how we are able to forgive. God, thank you for your grace. May we be found faithful as Christ teaches us how to pray and what to value in 2022. We love you and we thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand as Brother Ken leads us in this hymn of decision, a hymn of commitment, a hymn of invitation? You worship, you respond as he leads.
Worthy of worship, worthy of praise, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all the glad songs we can sing.
Amen. What a good song to conclude with. Father, you are worthy. Thank you so much for being here. Man, so glad to have you. Miss Fran's got out. I thought I was like, I'm getting a little nervous. Miss Pat, sorry. I was getting nervous over here, Miss Pat. Come on over here.
Miss Fran's the flower lady, and I help out too. At each of our entrances at church today, we have placed our poinsettias. They've been beautiful for a month and a half or so, and we would like you to feel free to pick one of the single poinsettias up, or pick up a couple of them and take home, or take them to a friend that might not have had anything cheerful this year. That would help us out, because we wouldn't just be wasting them, and I would love for you to do that. I also want to say thank you for the prayers for Barry, our son. They've meant so much to him and to Bob and I. And he's doing much better. he's still not able to walk or anything, but he's going for treatments 3 times a week in Cullman. And he has just been overwhelmed with prayer, and that's what's got him through it this far. And so don't forget, when you see a flower, think of me or Fran or somebody, and pick it up, take it home with you, and share it with somebody.
Thank you, Miss Pat. We do appreciate all you and these ladies do to keep our our sanctuary looking so pretty. Go be a blessing to somebody, and do continue to pray for Barry, and we do continue to pray for Miss Fran. I love you guys, and I'm excited about our new year together. And let's close in prayer. And as we do that, let's pray the Lord's Prayer together, just so it'll be on our hearts and minds all week long. All right, let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming.